Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Hope everyone is having a great week. And I'm excited today. We're continuing our mini series about healing. The vision of Katina Ministries is to see families all over the world healing and uniting in love. And today I'm blessed to have my Uncle Yeti here in the studio with me. Uncle Yeti, thanks for being here. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm doing good, Josh. Thank you, man.
Good. Well, I'll just get right into it. Yeah. As you know, we've been talking a lot over the last few months now about Katina Ministries and our vision for the future and beyond. And like I said, the vision of our ministry is to see families all over the world healing and uniting in love. And I've already talked with last week, I talked with my dad a little bit about, you know, what, where that vision comes from, and just kind of what healing means to him. And I'm curious to ask you a little bit of the same question: is when you think about healing in your life, what comes to mind?
That's a great start, man. I'm glad to be here, Josh, and great to have this opportunity to just share with people who are listening that there is healing available, you know, for families. And I want to back up, the statement was seeing families all over the world. Okay. So, you know, that your dad and uncles and I, we grew up in American Samoa, which is a tiny island, 2000 miles south of Hawaii. And, so healing for somebody that comes from there and just all the struggles and that are there in Samoa, they're different from the ones that are here in Franklin, Tennessee, you know. But we believe that there is healing for families no matter where you're at in the world, you know. But I'm experiencing that in my journey, and it's just healing is, man, I think it's something that when you get out of it, when you get in your car, you drive out, you just see people immediately that need healing.
Yeah.
Whether it's physical healing or emotional, mental, whatever the case might be, you know. So we're grateful to use the music, you know, as kind of a key or a platform to share what we feel, where the healing comes from.
Yeah. I think that's interesting. You talk about music, and I talked about this with my dad, is that I believe healing ultimately comes from the Lord, and that we can't be healed without the grace of God. Mm-hmm. I also believe that God uses different tools, whether it be people or places, or even things like music, art, creativity, to bring healing in people's lives. I'm curious, like, for you, I know you love music, and I'm curious, is there any time where you feel like music for you was a source of healing, whether it was being a consumer or a creator of music? Do you ever find God using music for the purpose of healing? Have you ever found that in your life?
Yes, Josh. And I love how you frame that question, because like for me as a musician, you know, playing music is, it's never worked for me, because I just, you know, I love it. And I can say that at different parts of my journey where I was struggling, going through something, you know, where I would just sit down at the piano and start playing and then feel my spirit lifted, man, just, you know, feel healing, you know? So I think it's important to know too that when we talk about healing, sometimes that's not 100% healed from whatever, but if it's just bits and pieces of you're feeling, you're starting to feel, you know, that healing, the soothing that comes from God ultimately, man, it's something to, you know, to desire. And when you experience it, man, it just, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. I'm curious. So the vision is to see families healing. Why do you feel, for you personally, why talk about families specifically? What is it about families that you see needing healing or being worthy of healing? Mm-hmm. What's the family part mean to you?
And that's great, man. And I'll just speak from my experience when when I talk about our family being healed. For me, it starts out with my dad, who battled alcoholism and was in the Vietnam War, you know, United States Marines. And but he came back from that war just messed up and just needing healing. And ultimately, God healed him. You know, he delivered him from that addiction. But then there were other things that my dad struggled with just because of, you know, the way that he was raised and his environment. So healing starts with him, and then it trickles on down. And I love that whole statement, you know, just practice or the way that's set up when power comes from power or whatever comes from the top, you know. It comes and it affects everyone in the family. You know? So when I saw Dad healed, I started to see our family healed, and we're still being healed.
Can you tell me, how old were you when Grandpa, do you have memories of Grandpa being an alcoholic?
Yes, I have memories of him taking all the alcohol from a fridge and pouring it down the sink. I had a visual of that.
Wow.
And I was like, wasting money? What are they doing?
Do you know how old you were?
I might have been 5 or 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
5 or 6 years old.
5 or 6 years old. Those are some of my early memories, because it was also, I also remember when my dad was in his addiction, and there was some violence in our home. Our home just felt very chaotic and unstable. And so, man, just to see the journey and see how the Lord put all the pieces back together again is pretty amazing for me.
I wonder, just thinking about 5-year-old Yeti, that memory of Grandpa pouring his drinks out has stuck in your mind. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that, from what I know, that was that memory that you had, that was a step towards healing for Grandpa.
Yes.
I think, and kind of how you're saying it, it trickles down in the family. That was a step towards healing for you as well.
Absolutely.
Maybe you weren't able to comprehend that at 5 years old, but to have your father, in a way, surrendering to healing, you know, giving up things that he was holding on to.
Yes.
I think that, to me, like a lot of, at least in my life, healing has come from when I release things that I've been holding on to because I think I have to, whether it be pride or anger or shame, all of those things that for whatever reason, I feel like at least my nature is to hold on to a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is there a time in your life where you feel like you were able to let go of something that you were hanging on to that was keeping you from healing or surrender something? I don't know. Does that
definitely
make sense?
Man, definitely. So Josh, I'll fast forward my life from 5 years old till in my 20s and 30s, man, where I found myself struggling the same way my dad struggled. You know, my dad used alcohol to numb whatever he was feeling, you know. And so I found myself doing that too, because there was a lot of shame in my younger years, high school and stuff. And there was actually a situation where, man, I didn't know I was going to go into this, but I will, man. I got a girl pregnant at 15 years old. And at the time, the story was very cloudy. Details were muddy. And so, but I was 15 years old, and I remember the feeling of shame, because at that time, it wasn't for sure that I was this girl's dad. Mm-hmm. But I went into this state of shame, man. Mm-hmm. And I remember a few specific things. I remember going to school, and I remember hearing some kid call me daddy. And man, I just trembled, and I ran. I found a spot where nobody could see me, and I just started bawling. Mm-hmm. I you know, talk about somebody needing healing, you yeah. know. And my parents were pastors, and so, man, this was unprecedented. All of a sudden, we have this situation, and my mom and dad, at the time, they were young, you know. Me being the age I'm at now, I'm able to look back at the journey and see, wow, this is why this happened. And my mom and dad were dealing with trying to keep the reputation of pastors, you know, like they're all good. And fast forward, man, I was struggling in my 20s, and it was because of that situation and other things that I hadn't dealt with. And so one Wednesday night, I was at a Wednesday night service at a church, and I had come off the road. I wasn't on the road with my brothers. They were all on the road, still continuing to sing, and I was just feeling so discouraged, man. Mm-hmm. I just felt like God took his hand off of me, and he just left me there. And so at this Wednesday night service, I was at the altar after the guy preached, and he just said, if anyone wants to spend time with the Lord, just come up here. And so went up there, and I just started praying. I was feeling down, and I just said, and I heard God say, I love you. And man, this is, there are probably maybe three times where I can speak of an encounter like this with God. And I heard God say, I love you. And I said, I know you love me, God. And I just felt him say, no, you don't know. You feel like I love you because of what you do, as you know, you're a pastor's kid, and you guys serve at the church, and you sing, and you've always associated my love with what you do. And I just want you to know this night, because it's going to change your life, that I love you because you're my son.
Wow.
Man, my knees buckled, Josh. And I don't know how long I was at the altar that night, but that moment changed the rest of my life. I just felt like, wow, the God of the universe created all things, took time to speak to me. Yeah. He took time to tell to whisper in my heart that he's there, he sees me, and he wanted me to experience a new season of, it's a loaded conversation, but there was a lot that I was dealing with, man-pleasing spirit, all the things that I was, here's why I'm doing the right things. And man, my life was just changed that night, man. I'm just grateful for that encounter that I have, but it brought healing to me.
Wow, I think, to me, one of the, what's really profound about that is when you shared how you felt God telling you, I don't love you because of what you do, but because of who you are, my son. And I think in my life, I've seen times where, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, where I know I'm in need of healing, and my first instinct is to think, okay, what can I do to heal myself?
Yeah.
What can I, you know, I need to go do X, Y, and Z. I need to go fix this problem, or do what can I do to do it? And I think all those years ago, what you were hearing from the Lord is there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
it's not your job to heal yourself. It's mm-hmm. it's the Lord who brings
yeah.
healing.
Yeah.
And I think I also am curious, like, you know, healing comes from the Lord, but he uses people as well. And I'm curious in your life, Uncle, who are those people that come to mind for you when it's like, when I'm around these people, I feel healing. Mm. When I'm around this person, I feel safe enough to know that I can be healed or I'm worthy of being healed.
Man, that's such a great question. But I want to say that I can relate to what you were saying earlier about needing to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite verses is Ephesians. I think it's Ephesians 2, verse 8, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And man, you're so right, Josh. It's like, and that's the mind-blowing thing about being a Christian, being a believer, is that God saved us just because he loved us and we're his kids. And I think when I rest in that, man, I'm able to abide. I'm able to exist just understanding that the pressure is not on me. You know, it's like, it's on a God that can do all things. And so if I can just remember that in my journey, and just when I'm able to live that out, when I'm in my sweet spot, man, it feels really good. But regarding people that have, man, I got to say that first, my family, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I have a family that they're present and they're available. And I think that's what's making it even more beautiful for our family, the Katina family, is that everyone is going towards healing.
Yeah.
You know, some might feel like they're in a great place, but they're always conscious of people need healing.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think one thing that has, you know, with the whole "what can I do" mm-hmm. reaction, being married has definitely revealed that in my own life.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen, there have been times where my wife will, she'll bring up something that's she's not happy about, whether yeah. it be have to do with me or not. She'll yeah. say, "I don't like this." And yeah. and my natural reaction is like, "Well, why don't you just do this?" Yeah. Or "Why I'll just do this and that." And there's been times where Alexis has really shown me, she said, "Hey, you don't have to fix everything right now. I just want you to know that I'm not happy about yeah. or I'm angry yeah. or I'm sad." Or
yeah.
And I think for whatever reason, I think maybe I'll talk about it one day. There's reasons for me, like whenever emotions come up, especially emotions like anger or sadness, I don't allow myself to just feel the anger
yeah.
and sit in the sadness.
Yeah.
My instinct is to try and fix it. Well, what can I do to make me not angry anymore? Or yeah. you not angry?
Yeah.
And there are some times where, I think my dad shared this last week, where, you know, the feelings come from God.
Mm-hmm.
And feelings, you can't heal if you can't feel.
Right.
You got to feel, you have to allow yourself to feel. And
totally.
And I think, you know, I think about Grandpa and other people, yourself, anyone who they try and numb feelings. I think, you know, people use alcohol
mm-hmm.
and substances
mm-hmm.
that those can work for a time to numb your feelings.
Right.
Some people use, you know, food or mm-hmm. work or mm-hmm. sex mm-hmm. or all kinds of things that they're temporary fixes for our feelings.
Yeah.
They help us forget whatever that thing is that we don't want to feel when,
yeah.
but what those vices can do is they not only block our feelings, but they also block our healing.
Absolutely,
and,
man.
To me, when I think about healing, and to our audience, you know, I think anyone listening, and I'm speaking myself included, we're all in need of healing. I would encourage people to listen to what they're feeling and let themselves be honest about those feelings. Don't try and numb them, and that's easier said mm-hmm. than done, but let your feelings lead to healing.
That's great, yeah. Josh. I totally agree with that. And man, I think that the metaphor that comes up to me is of the butterfly, you know, and the metamorphosis of mm-hmm. a caterpillar, you know. And I heard a story of a man that saw it was on this cocoon was on a ledge of a deck, and he could see that. It was happening. The metamorphosis was happening. The butterfly was struggling to come out of that cocoon. Mm. And so he went over there and he just thought he would help it. Uh-huh. And so he got up with a toothpick and he tried to help the process, and the butterfly didn't make it. The insect didn't make it. But that's like our lives, man. Like what you just said, man, when you're going through pain or disappointment or heartache, a lot of times, you know, that is our nature. Boom. What can I, you know, let me Google something or, you know, let me fix this. When sometimes God designs for pain to help heal us and grow us, you know. And I remember somebody just said, man, there's a lot of people that aren't experiencing the greatness of God because they're content with the goodness of God, you know. And so, man, I think that healing is, I think one day when Jesus breaks through the sky, we hear the trumpet sound, you know, yeah. There will be no more need for healing. But man, I think our work is, we got a lot of work to do, and we're having fun doing it.
Yeah. I think your analogy of the butterfly is so good because mm-hmm. it's important to remember with healing, there's work that goes yeah. into it. Yes. It's not an easy process.
Yeah.
It's a lot of times it's painful.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of times it's ugly. Mm-hmm. When you were sharing that, I had a memory. I remember in second grade, in my science class, in second grade, our whole class, we had a project basically where everyone in the class got a caterpillar.
Okay.
And we had like these little plastic cups mm-hmm. where there was like dirt and... Uh-huh. I guess food.
Yeah.
And we put the caterpillar in the cup and then we put a lid on top of
okay.
it. And so we kind of got to watch our caterpillar eat. And then shortly after, the caterpillars would start making their cocoons.
Wow.
And the cocoons would be on the lid. So they were hanging from the top of the cup.
Okay.
And I remember my caterpillar and all my classmates as, you know, they kind of go at different paces. Some yeah. start earlier than others.
Yeah.
But it was the cocoon itself was ugly. Like it kind of looked yeah. gross.
Yep.
And I remember it's kind of this like grayish brown,
yeah.
like, and I would see the caterpillar would be kind of wiggling inside mm-hmm. of his cocoon. It was yeah. just kind of a,
yeah, yeah. Unattractive.
Gave me, yeah. It gave me the heebie jeebies.
Yeah.
And I think about healing in my life. Like there's some times where mm-hmm. it's just kind of gross. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to look at it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, mm-hmm. it's just not fun to look at. And
yeah.
it's, and also it's like, what's it going to look like when it comes out?
Yeah.
And then I remember the first day, one of my classmates, their caterpillar had come out of its cocoon.
Yeah.
And it was, they were monarch butterflies.
Wow.
And they're beautiful, like brown and orange, bright orange colors.
Wow.
Eventually, this is funny. Eventually, everyone's caterpillar came out as a butterfly. And we had a big day where all of second grade, we all went outside and released our butterflies
wow.
together. And it was beautiful seeing mm-hmm. all these butterflies, mm-hmm. hundreds of them
wow.
just all leaving in our school. And I think...
How long was that whole process?
It was probably like a month.
Wow.
If I... Yeah. I don't know how long the caterpillars had already been alive mm-hmm. before we got them, but
okay.
probably a month from when we got them to yeah. when we finally let them go.
Wow.
And I think that's a great illustration of like the beauty that comes from... healing, which can be ugly mm-hmm. and which can be mm-hmm. uncomfortable and mm-hmm. can be a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And
And those, when the caterpillars were escaping the cocoon, they had to work to get out. Yeah. It's not easy. Yeah. And like you were saying, if I would have helped mine just make it easier for him, he wouldn't have survived.
Yeah, because there's a, like whatever muscles that are formed by their struggle to get out. And so if you think about life, man, we do that a lot. We try to rescue people and, you know, we try to bring healing, and it's like, well no, this is just the process, man, where people, they get stronger and they, you know, through trials. So, I mean, one more thing, just quickly, Josh, you know this story, but last year we experienced a stillborn, and it rocked our family, but as a family, we experienced healing, you know. We're still healing. And now, and you know, for Kate and Javon to have another baby, a healthy baby girl, Romy Rain, man, just so grateful. But I do know that life on an everyday basis is, we meet people all the time that need healing, and sometimes we need healing, and just being together and having community is, I think, the way that God works, man.
I want to just share encouragement for you, Uncle, and your whole family. I, and I've heard you talk about this, especially over these last year or so, just you've been honest about how the emotions that you've been feeling in a lot of ways have been confusing, things that you've never felt before, both huge amounts of grief and sorrow, but also joy and celebration at the same time. And I think it would probably be easy to try and ignore one or the other. Oh, I'm not going to feel sad because I, you know, I'm celebrating this, or the other way. I can't be happy. I'm still sad about losing my granddaughter. I want to encourage you. It's really been a blessing to me to see you and Auntie and your daughters and Javon and Carson, like, surrender to the season that you're in and allow God to bring healing through those emotions. I think that is commendable. And I can't imagine the amount of work that goes into deciding every day to feel what you feel and allow God to heal you through that. So it's been an inspiration to me, and I'm thankful for you and your whole family for just being such a great example of healing and how God can bring healing.
Thank you. Thanks for saying that, Josh. That really means a lot. And I feel like our family has experienced so much grace and healing and help from the extended family and friends that have prayed for us. And so just grateful to still be on the journey of healing, man.
Awesome, Uncle. Well, I appreciate your time, and I'm excited for to hear more stories of healing and unity. And I'll have you back here in a few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thank you, Uncle. To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.